Because we have a lot going on today, I'm only going to read one of our readings, which is our gospel reading for this morning. Please read the Old Testament and the epistle text at your leisure, but we will read our gospel reading, which is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel. It's found on page 919, and we'll be reading from verses 33 through 43. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood up watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. You might be asking yourself, why in the world on this Sunday before the Thanksgiving holiday, why on this last Sunday of the Christian year, right before the joyous season of Advent, that we would read a passage of Scripture that is perhaps more appropriate for Good Friday? But we read this text this morning because this Sunday of the Christian year is called Christ the King Sunday. This is the Sunday when we recognize and hold up the fact that Jesus is indeed the Lord of Lords and that he is the King of Kings. The earliest confession in the Bible was a short confession, and it was simply that Jesus is Lord. They didn't mean by that Jesus was the Lord. They didn't mean that one day Jesus would be Lord. They meant that Jesus is already the Lord. He is Lord of Lords, and he is King of Kings. But the question that we are asked to grapple with on this Sunday is, what kind of king do we want? Christ the King Sunday is a relatively newcomer as far as the Christian calendar goes. It was first instituted in the 1920s. Actually, it was 1920 after World War I, and people looked around and saw the death and the devastation that had been caused by World War I, and particularly looked and saw the creeping fascism that was taking place in Europe. And so church leaders, namely Pius the 11th, instituted a new day on the Christian calendar, which was Christ the King Sunday. And it was basically, again, wanting us to grapple with the question, what kind of king do we want? That, of course, was the question that Jesus was putting to his contemporaries. The people of Judea in Jesus' day were looking for a king. They were looking for a liberator. They were looking for a savior. They were looking for someone who would make Israel great again. But when the Savior came, they didn't want him. They didn't want Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And I'm not entirely certain that we want him either. When I hear the word king, of course, certain things come to mind. I think of crowns. I think of thrones. I think of robes. I think of glory. I think of powerful men exercising their authority and rule. I'm often told that the word king is a bit antiquated, that we don't use that word anymore, except if we're talking about Burger King or the Lion King or something like that. We don't have kings in our country, at least not anymore. We fought a war to be liberated from a king, from King George III. So we don't have kings anymore, I'm often reminded. But we do have leaders who exercise power, king-like power and authority. And so perhaps the question for us this morning is, what kind of leader do we want? I heard something the other day about former President Jimmy Carter. I believe the report said that he had fallen again and suffered some kind of minor fracture. In 95, Jimmy Carter is our longest living former president, and he's still fairly active. Teaches Sunday school at his church in Plains, Georgia, still builds houses for Habitat for Humanity. Some people have said that he makes a far better ex-president than he ever did a president. I was a young man in the Army during the last years of the Carter presidency, and he wasn't a very popular leader among the circles I associated with. This was during the time when 50 Americans were being held hostage in Iran, and the kind of leader we wanted was the kind of leader who would go in there and maybe kick a little bit of a butt and save the 50 hostages if he could, and that was the kind of leader that we were looking for, a strong leader. And for many of us at the time, Jimmy Carter appeared to be weak. And the last thing we wanted was a weak leader. We didn't want that kind of leader. And apparently our country didn't want that kind of leader either. I often wonder, I said this before, but often wonder how Jesus might fare if Jesus was with us today and if he ran for president. I often wonder whether we would vote for him if we didn't know that he was Jesus. We would know, of course, his program because he makes that program known to us. He tells us about in the kingdom of God, in his kingdom, the first will be last, and the last are first. He tells us that in the kingdom of God, those who are great are those who are willing to be the servant of all. He tells us that in the kingdom of God, that the most important people are the little people, the people that are often overlooked in this world. He tells us things like turn the other cheek and love your enemies. I wonder if he were able to run on that platform today, if he would get very many votes from many of us. After all, we, I'm told, live in a Christian nation. At least we live in a nation where a preponderance of people are Christians. I wonder if Jesus, if he were with us today and ran on that platform, if he would garner many votes. What kind of leader do we want? The kind of leader, of course, that we want depends on the kind of story that we are living out of. What is the story that is dominating our hearts? Is it the story of the world? Is it the story of violence, the story of revenge, the story of power, the story of domination, the story of winning at every cost? Or is it the story of the crucified, resurrected Lord? If it's the story of the world, of course, there are lots of leaders we can choose from. There are wise leaders. There are foolish leaders. There are left leaders. There are right leaders. There are democratic leaders. There are autocratic leaders. There are thoughtful leaders. There are foolish, moronic leaders. There are all kinds of leaders that we can choose from. But all of them, usually, sooner or later, care about the same thing. How they can increase power and how they can rule by way of domination and power. But if the story that is scripting our lives is the story of the resurrected, crucified Lord, then there's only one leader. There's only one king. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. But Jesus was always careful to ask us, what kind of leader do we want? When it comes to leadership, of course, we often make our deals with the devil. But Jesus refused to do that. Jesus tells us early on in the gospel narratives that he's going to be a different kind of leader. He's going to be a different kind of king. We're reminded that after his baptism, the Holy Spirit blows him out into the wilderness, and the devil, the Satan, tempts him, saying, if you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, and the Son of God language, it's important to understand, is kingly language. It is messianic language. All of the Israelites were God's sons and daughters, but the king, as the representative, as the head of the people, was especially the Son of God. And that's what the Satan is asking Jesus here. He's in early in the gospel of Luke and in the gospel of Matthew and Mark, he says, since you are the Son of God, since you are the king, then by godly, act like one. If you are the king, if you are the Son of God, let the people know that you can feed them. Let the people know that you can manage the economy. If you are the Son of God, let the people know that you can keep them safe. Isn't that what a king is supposed to do? Act like a king. Act like a leader. If you're the Son of God, look, I can help you with it. I can give you all of the kingdoms of the world. They all belong to me. I give them to whoever I choose. I can give them to you too. All you have to do is worship me. In other words, all you have to do is do things the way I want you to do them. The way of the world, the way of violence, the way of domination, the way of control. But Jesus rebuffs that way because Jesus is going to be a different kind of king, a different kind of leader. It's not that Jesus doesn't do some of the things that the devil wants Jesus to do. He does. For the first half of the Gospels, he's doing those very things. He's feeding people. He is healing people. He is doing it all with the view of one day expanding his realm, his kingdom to the ends of the earth. But he just refuses to be the kind of leader that the devil wants him to be. Because the way that Jesus will lead, the way that Jesus will gain the victory, the way that Jesus will be enthroned as king is by walking the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love. And that's what brings us to our passage this morning from the Gospel of Luke. As I said before, when I think of kings, I think of crowns, I think of thrones, I think of glory. And it's all there in that passage that we read a moment ago. There are crowns, but they are made of thorns. There's a throne, but it is in the shape of a cross. There is the glory, but it is the glory of God's suffering love. And what the text wants us to see is that this is our King. This is the King. This is the King of the whole world. This is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. This is your King. What kind of king do you want? Pilate asked that of the people of Judea there in Jerusalem. What kind of king do you want? You can have King Jesus. You can have this king right here. You can have this king over here, Barabbas, this brigand, this terrorist, this insurrectionist who wants to be king and usher the kingdom in violently. You can have that kind of king. What kind of king do you want? And the people said, we want Barabbas. That's the kind of king that we want. We want a king that's going to kick a little butt. We want a king who's going to be strong. We want a king who's going to make Israel great again in the way that we want great to happen. And so we don't want Jesus. He can't even save himself. We want a king who's going to be able to save us. And so they reject Jesus. And reject the one who is Israel's king. I imagine the devil was there and was probably laughing to himself, saying, see, Jesus, I told you. Should have chose the way that I wanted you to go. Should have chose the way, the tried and true method that I have perfected down through the centuries. The way of violence, the way of domination, the way of control. Should have chosen that path. If you'd chosen that path, you might have been successful. But now look at you hanging here on the cross. And yet what no one could see was that this is the way that God was conquering. This is the way that God was saving. This is the way that God was overcoming our enemies, the enemy of sin and death. It is by the self-giving love of Jesus on the cross that God was overcoming the world. The story doesn't end there, of course. We know about the resurrection, about the vindication of the way of Jesus. But it also doesn't end there because you and I are called to follow. If Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, then that means that you and I are called to be his followers. We are called to be the people who give allegiance to him. What does it mean to give allegiance to Jesus in our world? What does it mean to follow him? Follow the one who walked the way of self-giving love. What kind of king, what kind of leader do you want? What kind of leader dominates your heart? What kind of leader do you respond to? That's why I like this day, this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. I've come to like this day because the job of the preacher, my job, is to help script you so that you're living out of the right kind of story. That out of all the stories in the world, you're hearing at least the right kind of story. It's not easy because we have lots of ways to prevent ourselves from hearing the story. The story of the crucified God. The story of the God who is calling us to walk in the way of self-giving love. We have all kinds of ways not to hear that story, or even sometimes to blend the story of the Bible with the stories of the world so that we give kind of a superficial patina of religiosity over the leaders that we want to lead us. So that even though they might profess Jesus, they're living out of another story. But what kind of king do you want? Do you want Jesus? Do you want God's Son? Do you want the one who walks in the way of love and compassion and forgiveness and reconciliation? Or do you want another kind of leader? Are you looking for another kind of king? It's hard for us to believe sometimes that the way of the cross is the way that God has called us to walk. And yet it is. And that's what we are reminded of as we begin this season of Advent. As we begin waiting and watching for the King to come in our midst. But again, the question continues to go out. What are you looking for? What do we want? Hopefully what we want is the Lord of life, the Lord of renewed life, the Lord of healing, the Lord of love, because that's the God that we will get at Christmas, and that's the God who has come into our world to be for you, to be for me, to be for the whole world. And because of that, we can continue to give God the glory in knowing that despite what we want, God has already given us what we need to heal our hearts and to heal our suffering world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this last day of the Christian year, as we are reminded of who you are, help us to give allegiance to our King. Help us to have the courage to follow the one who you have called to lead us, the one who has shown us what it means to truly be human. Help us to walk along the path of your self-giving love. Help us to see one another not as enemies, but as people that you love and that we are called to love. Help us to have the courage to forgive even those who do things to us because they know not what they do. Help us to follow your path into the way to paradise, so that we might have life and have it everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.